This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, the Bible says that as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest and cold and winter and sun and, I don't know, whatever, rain. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen water standing in the terraces, so we'll take that. Praise God. It's wonderful. How many are you glad to be here tonight? Yes. Bunch of brave souls. You didn't let that rain bother you. You said, by golly, we're going to church. Hallelujah. So I appreciate that very much. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. If you can find that opening in your Bibles, just get into the Word. We'll have a good message, and we'll go home and find something to snack on later. How about that? Huh? And you know, got a little something before you go night-night. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. And did I say Isaiah chapter 1?
Yeah.
Wrong. Philippians chapter 4. Okay, we'll get to Isaiah 1, but that is not our text. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. I've been thinking about that verse so much, I guess it just kind of came out. Philippians, the fourth chapter, that's where we're going to start. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight for this privilege we have to break the bread of life. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and illumination, understanding to the simple. And Father God, it's through your word that we come to know your plan, your purpose, your will for our lives. And I thank you, Father, for the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Yes, so grateful, Father, that we can believe you, trust you, and rely upon you. And not only that, Father, do it because we know what it is that you have promised and what you have said. So we just thank you for this time we have together tonight in the Bible, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look with me, if you would please, here. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice with me, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said to be careful for,
nothing.
What's that word?
Nothing.
How many of you know sometimes that's easier said than done?
Yep.
All right, thanks for a couple honest folk. Yeah, sometimes that can be a little bit challenging, but yet he wouldn't ask us to do something we can't do. So be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. Yeah, his peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And he concludes by saying, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. That's some pretty good instruction right there. Amen. That's something you can, you know, get your teeth into, wrap your head around, however you want to describe it. And you know, if you'll do it, guess what? You'll experience what it is that he said in those scriptures that we just read. So I want to share with you tonight, this message is not really a, well, I've entitled it, Being at Rest in Difficult Times, or Challenging Times, you could say. Being at rest in difficult or challenging times. And the message isn't really, it's not really a how-to kind of thing. It's kind of a who's who kind of thing. And what I mean by that is who you are and who your Heavenly Father is. Because if you know who you are and you know who he is, you don't have to worry about anything. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Thank God he's given us his word, and we can rely and trust on what it in what it is that he has said. And thank God he'll take care of it. He's our Father. Amen. And he'll take a father's place to do just that. You know, Most of the time, you know, when in most circumstances or situations, you know, a child is never afraid when he knows his father is near or she knows her father is near. Why? Because he's there. What? To protect her, to guide her, to instruct her, to help, to do whatever. Children, you know, are just knit to their parents, you know, in that regard. Well, the same thing's true with us. I mean, you know, we're his spiritual children, amen? And if we know that he's near, then we don't have to be afraid either. Because when you know your father, and you know, I mean, throughout the scriptures, Jesus came to reveal him as who he was, you know. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, different things of that nature. And he wants us to know that in a very, very real, in a very relevant kind of way when it comes to our lives. So important, because we see all these things that are going on in the world today. And I mean, if you don't know him, you could get nervous. So again, when you know your Father, no matter what you may face or be facing, all of heaven, I mean, all of heaven stands with you to give you the victory and to, as I would say, put you over in life. Glory to God. How many of you know God wants to put you over? He wants you to have victory. And so that comes with knowing who he is, because again, heaven stands with you. But knowing and trusting your heavenly Father in the midst of adversity or test or trial, it can be a challenge. And but the key to being at rest is knowing him and believing him and trusting him in the midst of trouble. I mean, we can spend quite a long time tonight just going through the litany of examples and individuals and people that we have in the Bible. You know, I just wrote down a few. There's Daniel in lion's den. How many of you know he was in a bad spot? And yet God kept him. Amen. And so again, you know, being at rest in a difficult time. And if you think about our text, it said, "In the peace of God," it says, "that passes all understanding." Most people, when they're in trouble, you can tell. But if a person is at rest when there's trouble, that's not normal. In other words, as a child of God, praise God, you can be. And it's like, you know, people say, "Well, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize what's going on?" Well, I realize what's going on, but all is at rest because I know my Father. Hallelujah. Amen. So you take Daniel in the lion's den, you take David and Goliath when he was standing there, and I mean, you talk about being insulted. He went out there and he said, "Who in the world, you send this kid out here? I'm going to, you know, do this, that, and the other." And David says, "Well, you come to me with physical things. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And today, God is going to deliver you into my hands." That's, you know, that's looking to the one that we need to. And then there's the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was Jehoshaphat, you know, when a bunch of kings made an alliance with one another to come against him and Judah, and how God delivered them in that. There's Jesus with all of his accusers throughout the Gospels. We see all these people that were accusing Jesus of all kinds of things. There's Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. They'd had the daylights beaten out of them, and here they are at midnight, you know, praying and singing praises unto God. That's not normal. Hallelujah. And yet that's exactly what they were doing. Because thank God they knew who their heavenly Father was. And as a matter of fact, it brought deliverance for them, did it not? Not only that, probably everybody in the jail or prison got saved, and the jailmen as well. And then there's the disciples on stormy Galilee. You know, they're supposed to go to the other side. They get in the middle of this thing, and all of a sudden everything goes sideways. Thank God Jesus was in that boat. And guess what? Jesus is in your boat. Wherever you may be, whatever it is that you may be facing, he's there. And then we talked about this story, I believe, last week about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And he said, "I go to wake Lazarus from sleep." The disciples said, "He's going to be fine. We don't want to go back there. We nearly died, you know." And Jesus just said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" He said, "If you walk in the light, then you'll be able to see. If you walk in darkness, then you can't." And so I guess they were going back to where people wanted to kill him, quite literally. And yet, if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship one with another. So he was led by the Holy Ghost. And we talked about that a little bit last week. I'd probably like to talk more about that as we go on. But there's all kinds of things going on in the world today. And really things that we've not seen, in my lifetime. It's like, you can't even make some of this stuff up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But none of these things come as some kind of a surprise to our Heavenly Father. He knew all the, matter of fact, he said these things would happen, You say, yeah, but does it have to happen while I'm around? Evidently, But anyway, he knew, it's not a surprise to him. He knew all about them. And so as a child of God, the question is, how do we process these things? How do we respond, or how do we deal with these matters? And in a generic kind of overarching kind of way, we deal with them God's way. As he's instructed us, and how it is that he would have us to act, and what it is that he would have us to do. So it still comes back to this idea of knowing our Heavenly Father. How many are glad tonight that we know him? Now, thank God we may not know him as well as we will, but we're working on it, aren't we? Hallelujah. So that we can make an application of that relationship we have with him in the context of our everyday lives. So here's the thing you need to, I said it wasn't a how-to necessarily, but a who's who kind of thing. And so what I want to say tonight, and this really burns within my heart deep, because I know that it is an essential where believers and Christians are concerned. And I see it so often within Christendom, where people really don't know their Heavenly Father. They don't know his character. They don't know his nature. They don't even know his will. And they're confused about it on a lot of different levels. So please understand this, that God wants you to do well in life and be at rest. That is his will in Christ Jesus concerning you. For you, again, to do well in life, to do well in life, to do well in life, and to be at rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You say, well, how come this? How come that? Why is this person this way or that? Or why are they struggling this way or that or the other? How long do you have? There's a lot of different things that I guess that we could look at. But I think at the end of the day, what I'd like for you to focus on is the simple fact that he does want you to do well in life and be at rest. And you have to, I believe there's a real decision on the part of every child of God to say, as an act of their will, to say, I'm having me some of that. I don't care what my experience has been. I don't care about my current circumstances and, whatever. I don't care about how old everybody thinks I am. I'm having me some of that. And I can't tell you what happens when a decision, a quality decision of that nature is made within your heart, but it changes things, and it moves the hand of God. It gets things heading in the right direction where you just say, I will not be denied. And we see this in the scriptures, particularly, in the gospels, where there were certain ones that were commanded to keep still. Blind Bartimaeus, they said, don't trouble him, whatever. He cried the louder. And I think there's something about that I don't know if you'd call it tenacity or if you just call it just a refusing to be denied. The woman with the issue of blood, she was, by law, she was not to be in the public or have anything to do with anyone. And yet, when you're desperate, you don't care. When Jairus' daughter was about to die, and he was a religious figure, ruler, that it already been disseminated throughout, the church, that if anybody was having anything to do with this guy, you were out. And he is a high-ranking official within the church. But again, when you're desperate, you don't care. And I think sometimes, when it comes to, the whole thing about God's plan and his will for our lives, people they're expecting God to do everything. And the fact of the matter is, dude, you've got to go out and you've got to possess your possessions. Are you with me? Because if you don't, you won't. And I think that sometimes is a difficult concept for people to get their head around. And yet, you know, the scriptures, you know, it says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. You know, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be strong. You know, there's things of that nature that are found within the Word of God that I think a lot of times Christians, they don't. I mean, if you're not wired that way, ask God to help you. You know, so that you can have everything that He intended and planned for you. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And I know, you know, sometimes it maybe it's a little counterintuitive. I don't know. But He wants you to do well in life. And He wants you to be at rest. Now you can turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Praise the Lord. That gives you a little bit of a context for what we're talking about here. You've read this scripture before. I preached it and, you know, quoted it and different things like that. But I want you to read it for yourself from your device or Bible or whatever it is that you're using. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if, everybody say if. That's conditional. But if you be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient toward what? Toward the will of God, toward the word of God, toward what He says, essentially. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. How many of you like that idea? Now in 20, he says, if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How many of you know everything that God says comes to pass? Well, let's get on the willing and obedient side of that ledger and make sure that we stay there so that, again, we can eat the good of the land. So really, it goes without saying that the blessing of God does rest upon the obedient. How many of you know it doesn't cost, it pays to obey God? So, you know, if there's things in our life that don't belong there, it pays to get rid of it. Why? Because it's displeasing to Him, and He knows that if you keep it up, it's going to harm you. Now, going on in thinking about this, that the blessing of God rests on the obedient, I want to read a couple other verses of Scripture that I guess you would say connect to this thought about being willing, obedient, eating the good of the land, doing well in life. Notice this one, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 39. It says, you shall therefore keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you today. In other words, you just got to be a doer of the word. And then it goes on to say, that it may go well with you. How many of you want that to happen? I know for many of you it already is, but these are things that are important. So it says that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Now, notice with me here, it says that it may go well with you and your children after you. Now, some folk, you know, they'll argue and say, well, I know some people, you know, they were believers and they did this and that and the other and their kids did this and that and the other and whatever. Well, you have to understand that all kids, all people, all human beings, they do reach an age of accountability. They have decisions they have to make. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we commiserate and we're, you know, we feel we want to blame ourselves and different things of that nature, you know, because our children have made decisions, you know, that, well, maybe we're less than wise and there was a consequence and so on and so forth. And, you know, that can be such a dark hole, a real trap. Okay. You say, well, what do we do about that? Pray for them. Keep believing God for them. Amen. I mean, if they need an encounter with God, believe God that He'll, you know, that they'll have just that so that they can get their hearts and their lives turned around. So it goes well with everyone who chooses to obey. That's, you know, at the end of the day. Can you say amen? And now, you know, some people say, well, you know, I know somebody, they obey God and they just went through this and they went through that and they went through the other. I'm not trying to express to you or say to you that you're not going to face a challenge or this or that or the other, you know, but yet right on the other hand, you know, God doesn't forsake us when we go through these things, nor is He the author of those things. You know, people end up dying prematurely and different things of that nature, you know, but God hasn't forsaken anyone. Are you listening to me? And yes, there can be hardship, but I'm telling you what, God can be in the middle of that and he can bring you out. He can, as I said earlier, put you over. How many of you believe that tonight? So we don't just throw up our hands and say, you know, I give up. We don't give up. We just keep going. Another verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. So you see this theme that's repeating. That it may be well with them again, and with their children forever. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, this, that it may be well with them, that it may be well with them, that it may be well with them, it's all over in there. How many of you know God wants it to be well with you? Yeah. Amen? The truth again is that he wants you to do well in life. Now here's another scripture that we're familiar with in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise is, again, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Aren't you glad for that? And again, we could, I mean, there's a whole myriad of scriptures that would say this. So I'm just trying to couch this simple thought that he wants you to do well in life and be at rest within the context of these scriptures. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you do this, you're going to, you know, it's going to be well with you. So God, again, wants us not only to experience this, but to know that it's true. He desires for wellness and rest. And I don't think there's anything that can express that more than the fact he sent Jesus. You talk about a bunch of, you know, a world filled with sinners, and God sends a Savior. Why? So that they wouldn't perish. So that they have everlasting life, so that sin would not have dominion over them. Thank God he's broken the power of sin. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly. Hell doesn't have any dominance over you whatsoever, child of God. Hallelujah, you have dominance over it. And it's all because of Jesus. And so this wellness and desire for you to be at rest is so profoundly, you know, expressed in not only the sending of his son, but his son, the giving of his life. So all of these things should make it clear to us. But, you know, it's funny how we struggle with some of these issues and we get confused about this or that or the other. And don't ever be confused about God's will toward you, you know, in the midst of whatever you may be facing, about his intent where you and your life is concerned. He wants the best for you. But, you know, we live in this world. And you know, throughout the scriptures, it talks about false prophets, you know, that will rise in the last days and say this and that and the other. And the other thing that can be very, very hugely damaging to people is religious thinking. Not biblical thinking, religious thinking. And what it does is it creates false, erroneous, all kinds of religious ideas. People try to, you know, make statements about this, that, or the other in an attempt to, I don't know, maybe try to make it, I mean, this is pretty extreme, but someone passes away, maybe it's a young child or something like that, and somebody will make a statement like, well, God needs another flower in his garden, you know, something like that. I mean, it's so ridiculous. No, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He promised long life. You know, you get where I'm coming from here. So you can't, you know, and I know maybe it's some kind of human attempt to try to pacify the pain, but it doesn't help, you know, because it isn't true. So we really need to be careful about, you know, religious ideas about, you know, God that are unscriptural and people being confused. I'm so thankful for the word of life. I thank you. I'm thankful for the word of faith. I thank God that we've come to know things that are true and pure and lovely and honest and of a good report. Amen. And sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, there has to be a little pushback sometimes because not everybody has faith, but you do. Come on now. You got faith. And so thank God you can stand and say, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but that's not what I believe. I mean, you don't have to, you know, pound it down their throat or whatever. But on the other hand, you know, praise God, stand your ground. Say, well, I don't believe that, you know. And then they'll probably say, well, what do you believe? And then you can tell them, hallelujah, and you can get after it. So talking about the nature of God and his love for us and his will for us and the character of God, I'd ask you the question, simple question, why would God send the Holy Ghost if he didn't want to help you? You know, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without aid. I'm going to send someone, to you. Why? Because he wanted to help us. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And yet in the church world, you know, you start talking about the Holy Ghost and everybody starts getting nervous. And that's the last thing you need to do. You need to lean up in your chair and say, tell me about that. I want to know so that I can learn and have every benefit that comes from heaven. Look back in the New Testament to John chapter 14. Let's just read some things that Jesus said here. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus made the statement, if you love me, again, keep my commandments. Well, what happens when you keep his commandments? It'll be well with you. Hallelujah. When you walk in love toward the unlovely or anybody else for that matter, it'll be well with you. We take the high road, don't we? Instead of, you know, returning evil for evil, praise God, we return with blessing. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but you know, praise God, still love you. Amen. You know, in 40-some years of ministry, I've had marvelous opportunities to get upset, to be unforgiving. I've had marvelous opportunities to give people a piece of my mind, but I don't have that much, so I don't want to give them anything. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, you just got to zip your lip. Oh, how I would have liked to have told them some things. But you know, it doesn't do any good. Nobody wins. I said nobody wins. So we're going to take the high road because we're bigger than that. And we're going to do what Jesus asked us to do. And that is to love one another as he loved us. I think about my own life and what a mess it was. And yet in my sin and messed upness, as like they were singing tonight, he saved me. He came to this world and gave his life knowing 2,000 years later I'd have an opportunity. And I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Well, we need to return the favor to the world that is around us because they are hurting. And yes, they are messed up. And some of them are angry, they're mean, they're ornery, all of those different kinds of things. But I'm telling you, God needs you, witness, to share the love of God with that person so that they can at least have an opportunity to make some changes where their life is concerned. So he said again, verse 15, chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, or pray the Father, and he will give you, or shall give you, another comforter. Hallelujah. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or accept, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he's going to be in you. Now notice this in 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. I will come to you. In other words, I won't leave you without aid. Aren't you glad for that? And yet there are a lot of Christians, they have the comforter in them, but they don't really give him much attention. You know, they're all knotted up about whatever and this and that and the other. And you know, there's just no faith in that. You know, a lot of times, you know, as in pastoral ministry, you know, we try to locate where people are with their faith and we try to hook up with them right there and believe God with them. What I mean by that is you want to believe God for a miracle? Hallelujah, we'll get in there with you. If you believe that the doctors can do a good job and get things fixed up, we'll believe God with you there. You know, but unfortunately, there are times when we get with some people, and, dude, they don't believe nothing. And it's really hard to connect. I mean, come on, help, you know, we're gonna do this together. Two of us agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it'll be done of our Father which is in heaven. I believe that. But you know, you gotta get everybody else on the same page. Are you with me? And if you can do that, then praise God, a lot of good things can happen. Jesus was very much in the habit of getting rid of people that were full of doubt and unbelief. Have you ever noticed that? He just leave them. You know, that whole deal with Jairus, I mean, that's a great story. And you watch and you see, before it was over with, the only thing that was left was mom and dad and Peter and John, I think, you know. Everybody else got left behind, you know. And thank God, what a miracle as you raise that child up from the dead. Are you listening to me? So, notice he said, I won't leave you without aid. Now drop down to verse 26 in the same chapter. Still talking about the Comforter. He said, and he identifies who it is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever quoted a verse of scripture that you never memorized, you didn't think anything about it, you were talking about somebody, and you said, yeah, you know, the Bible says, and you quoted it? How many of you have ever done that before? Huh? That's God. Yeah. Amen. He said, I'll bring to you, to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you. And then in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Now listen to this. This is the important part. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's so important. Again, the question should be asked, who is it that does that? We do, right? You say, well, how's that work? Well, when the devil is, you know, beating you up with all kinds of worry and anxiety and doubt and all kinds of things, you know, you just have to refuse to allow your heart to be troubled. How do I do that? Well, you stand up and say, devil, if you want to talk, I'm going to read the Bible to you. And then you just go through some scriptures like this and see what he thinks about all of that. And I will guarantee you, before very long, he will be nowhere around. Huh? Because he hates the word. Amen. And I mean, even if you have to do it audibly. In other words, the Bible says that you and I are to resist. You say, yeah, but I don't feel like that. I understand, but I'm telling you, I don't care how you feel. If you want to win, you got to do. Okay? That's all there is to it. A lot of times we don't want to get out of bed and go to work, but that doesn't change anything. If you don't, you won't have your job. You with me? The same thing's true here. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You say, I'm tired. Well, good. I understand. Get in a bunch of meetings. Get full. Get your cup filled with the Word of God. You know, there's all kinds of stuff available, good stuff that's available, you know, on YouTube and what. I mean, praise God. Just, you know, overdose on it and get yourself full of the Word of God, and your life will be different that way, especially if you're in a big battle. So you just can't be indifferent about protecting the your core. I mentioned this Sunday, actually. You know, I mean, the real you, you've got to guard your heart. Hallelujah. Some person will come along, man, and I mean, they're an instrument of hell. And they'll come and, you know, they'll try to dress you down or whatever. I had an occasion. Actually, I've had a couple of them. Hallelujah. Anyway, I was in the office, you know, and this was years ago. And you say, well, who was it? And you don't need to know. But anyway, I was in my office. I was minding my own business. And all of a sudden, this person came in. And, man, they just started unloading on me. And what was really strange about it is that I had seen them up in Oakland, and I never acknowledged them. And I don't know. I may have had my mind on something else. It wasn't that I had any feelings about them one way or another, not negative, not positive, not anything. I mean, I was probably just preoccupied. Well, they trotted right down here to the church, and dude, they just, you know, yeah. So I'm sitting there, you know, in my office, and I'm in unbelief. I cannot believe that this is going on. You know, it's kind of like that deal where, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind. I mean, you know, I mean, I was like, really? I mean, come on, you know? And so they regurgitated all this stuff out on my desk, turned around, walked out the door and left. Well, you know, nobody deserves that, especially in that context, you know, and tried to reach out to them, tried to correct it, and And unfortunately, I was not successful. Well, the other unfortunate thing about that is, and I don't know that the two are related, but that person contracted some kind of disease and didn't live out the full length of their days. You know, you really need to be careful about who you put your tongue on. You know, and again, I'm not trying to get all weird or anything like that, but you know, there's really no place for that as a child of God. Can you say amen? You know, I mean, it could have been as simple, hey, pastor, did you not see me? And I would have, you know, then I could have responded or whatever, but I think they pretty well had their mind made up already. Had another incident like that. You'll have these things. So how are you going to protect yourself? How are you going to guard your heart? You know, actually, you know, I think, if I recall correctly, after they left, I prayed for them. It's a great thing. Pray for your enemies. I mean, if in fact they're your enemy, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you'll be in family relationships and somebody will get a little ornery, you know, and they'll start making all kinds. They need your prayers. They really do. You know, so pray for them. It's the best way to diffuse and to disarm hell. You know, it's the last thing hell wants you doing is praying for the person who has a problem. Are you listening to me? It'll help you greatly. Hallelujah. So you can't be indifferent about protecting, you know, your heart. You have to guard it. And not only in the context that I've just described, but even what you watch, what you feed on, what you listen to. You know, some people, they got a radio on and they're listening to all these people. How many of you know everybody's got an opinion? How many of you know about 99% of it doesn't amount to a hill of beans? I mean, you know, they come up with all these conspiracy theories. They don't know whether it's true or not, but they're out there. Why? Because we need drama. Because drama sells, you know. And so there's all this stuff going on about this, that, and the other. Once in a while, I'll run into folk, you know, and they'll say, well, did you hear about this? Well, hear about that? I ain't got time for that. I mean, where in the world did you come up with that at? You know what I'm saying? Am I in the right house? You know, I'm just using it as an example. I think it works. So you got to watch what it is that you're listening to, what you're meditating on. You know, I mean, about yourself, your own self-worth and being. I'm telling you, you are worth a lot to everyone. You say, well, I sure don't feel that way. It doesn't matter what way you feel. You're important to God. Amen. So if you're meditating or thinking the opposite of that, that's not healthy. That's not God. Are you with me? So you have to get that change, and you got to, like I said, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, honest, lovely, you know, pure, of good, that's what you want to be thinking about. So if you got this negative thing going on, you just got to change that. The scriptures tell us this: take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. King James uses the word surfeiting, okay? Drunkenness and the cares of this life. I want to look at this in my Bible because I got a note that I want to share with you here about this word surfeiting. 21:34-21. Here we go. Surfeiting. It means carousing. It means overindulgence of any kind. It means unrestrained behavior. Do you know how many people in our society and culture today that are living just like that? I mean, men, there's no reins. They're just running wild. So what did Jesus say? He said, you take heed to yourself. So that, lest at any time your hearts end up being overcharged with, again, as I've described it, surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. It's interesting that that would be, of course, a lot of people, that's exactly what they do. They drink their problems away, except they wake up and then their problems are still there, only worse. And then it goes on to say, cares of this life, so that... And so that day come on you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. How many of you, I can speak from my own experience here, how many of you have ever gained weight? Gotten heavier? You know? And all of a sudden, you know, you kind of realize, you know, you jump on a scale, you look in the mirror, whatever the case might be, and you say, you know what, Houston, we've got a problem. You know, it's just, it's something. But the reason that I bring it up is that when that happens, you say, well, okay, I'm going to make a change. Maybe you start eating clean and, you know, maybe getting some exercise, some different things. And so things start to change, you know, things start getting better. And how many of you have ever been through that cycle? And in doing so, you get to a point, you go, man, I feel so much better. Am I the only one? Okay. None of you have ever done this. Okay, well, let me just tell you from experience, that's kind of the way it goes. You know, when you get yourself straightened back up again, you feel so much better. Why? Because little by little by little by little by little by little every day, you know, you're you know, just maybe not paying attention and saying this won't, you know, whatever. But when you say, well, now wait a minute, we got to get this straightened up, and you do it, and then you start peeling some things away, and all of a sudden you go, wow, man, I can actually breathe, or whatever. You know, you understand where I'm coming from? You say, what in the world does this analogy have to do with anything? Well, you know, sometimes people get away from God without even knowing it. And they end up being overcharged with, you know, reckless, you know, behavior. I mean, that might be on the extreme end of things, but you understand where, you know, the cares of this life, they get to overwhelming them, you know, and they say, well, you know, it won't hurt if I this, I that, I maybe, you know, have a little party or something like that or whatever. Careful. I said careful, because you're asking for problems. You know, and that's what the flesh does. You know, it craves and does things and ends up causing a lot of problems where, well, let me just close with this illustration. My good friend Monty, we had a board meeting last night. I serve on his board there at FCOC, and we were having a conversation, and he was talking about, he had went home, and this guy, I mean, he's like a machine. In the morning, he checks his pool. In the night, he checks his pool, you know, and he does whatever it is that he's got to do where the filter's concerned, and maybe add whatever, you know, whenever it has to be added and stuff. And I mean, but we were over there for, a number of days, almost a week, for one of the conferences they had, and stayed with him, of course, every morning, every night. Man, he's all over this thing. Well, he goes out to his pool, and he noticed something splashing, you know. He's going, what the world's going on? And so he goes out there, and there's a squirrel in his pool. And this squirrel had been there a while. And he tread water, but we only got about one. I mean, he's just about on at the end of it all, you know. I mean, just totally exhausted. And so... Monty's describing this, actually, it's kind of funny, but it's probably not funny. But anyway, so, you know, he went over and got the, you know, net, and he was going to try to help, you know, he was trying to put the net next to the squirrel, thinking the squirrel would crawl up on it. Well, instead, the squirrel tried to swim away. And I think to myself sometimes, you know, isn't that the way Christians are sometimes? God's, you know, reaching out with his arm to try to help. And the believer will go, oh, no, I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to do that. I'm this Holy Ghost business. You know, I don't know about that willing and obedient. Listen, God's trying to help you, you know, and yet people are swimming the other way. Well, so finally he, and this thing, you know, he's got a big old reach out onto it and everything like that. So finally he decides, because he kept swimming away, so finally he decides, I'm going to have to get up underneath him and come up underneath him. Of course, you know, all this, you know, weight and everything like that got to the squirrel and, you know, kind of come up, and this squirrel's clinging onto the side of it because he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but yet he's realizing this might help, you know. And so he finally gets the squirrel up, you know, out of the water. He's hanging there, you know, and, you know, kind of squirming around. And Monty's trying to get him back over someplace where, you know, if he jumps, he's got about a 10, 12 foot, you know, fall, which, man, I've had squirrels on my deck that probably sits 10, 12 feet up off the ground. And I've watched them. I've come out there, and man, they will beat feet. And they'll run across that thing, and dude, they will launch themselves. I mean, out into the air. I'm thinking, my God, that's it. No, They just hit the ground someplace and keep right on running. Doesn't even bother them. Well, anyway, back to the story about the drowning squirrel. He finally gets him over to a place where he can get it down, you know, and this squirrel just kind of falls off of the screen, the net, and crawls over by a rock in some kind of an attempt maybe to try to hide himself or whatever. But I'm telling you, he was about dead. I mean, right, just so close. And Monty said, you know, I was going to, you know, I went over, got my phone so I could go over and take a picture of it and send it to Peggy and this and that and the other. And he said he walked over there and that squirrel didn't. It was kind of like, just shoot me, I don't care. You know, I mean, he was just about toast, you know. But obviously, you know, he made it out of that situation. But my question to all that is why do we swim away from the things that can save us? Why do we do that? And God wants us to cling to Him. There's other things that I could share with you here tonight, but we're coming up on the end of our hour. And I'll just give you three little things if you want to write these down or just think about them or whatever. But, you know, to get beyond being at rest, in other words, maybe a better way to say it would be to get beyond anxiety and fear, because it's everywhere. To get beyond it, beyond those things, you have to get past yourself. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Get past yourself. You know, this isn't, you're not the only one that's in on this deal. You know, in other words, sometimes we think about our lives in only what we can do. Well, you can't do very much, but with Him, you can do a lot of stuff. So you got to get beyond yourself. And what I mean by that, another way you could maybe say it is, some Christians, you know, they complain about what's going on in their life, but they're not teachable. Why? Because they haven't gotten past themselves. They haven't chosen to say, God, I need You. And whatever You tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. The other thing is to get beyond fear and anxiety is you have to grow beyond yourself. You know? And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes people, they, you know, nobody can tell them anything, you know. They know it all. I was reading just today, as a matter of fact, reading the incident where they were having the Passover together, and all of a sudden there was a strife among them about who should be the greatest. And I know Peter started it, okay? Because when this all went down, then Jesus started teaching them about who's greatest in the kingdom. And basically He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you need to serve. And then He turned right to Peter and he said, Simon, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. In other words, he wants to run you through the ringer. And he would have done it through this arrogance that Peter had, you know. And he said, but I've prayed for you. That your faith won't fail. So when you're converted, strengthen the people. And you know the whole, and right on the heels of that, he goes, hey, man, I'm ready to die. I'll take the sword. I'll do whatever, you know. I'll do it all. He says, will you? So I can tell you before the chicken crows, he said, you'll deny me three times. And he did. And that's what that whole thing happens, you know. And that's why I use the scripture, you know. You have to grow beyond you. You have to realize that humility and servitude towards God is what you need. You know, people say, well, I don't need anybody. Yeah, you do. And you're going to need them more than you would ever imagine as you go down the road of life. Some folks, you guys are going to end up with such empty, sad lives because nobody could tell them anything. As much as people around them try to help, they refused. And it's going to be a sad, lonely existence for them. And that's really sad in my heart, you know. So we got to grow beyond ourselves. And then number three, finally, at 8:03, To get beyond fear and anxiety, you have to give beyond yourself. Okay? So, you have to get beyond yourself, you have to grow beyond yourself, and you have to give beyond yourself. And the reason is simple. Jesus said that if you give, it'll be given to you. Some folks, you know, they're, well, I don't have anything. I don't have this. I don't have friends. I don't have anything. You know, and there's a perfect example, you know, that if you're looking for friends, show yourself friendly. Some folks, you know, they don't, well, no, you know, nobody cares about me. Nobody, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's really unfortunate to be in that place. And the thing is that only they can help themselves. And they have to say, wait a minute, this attitude is no good. And we're going to change this. And I'm going to begin, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. You know, if you have a need in your life, give. Let there be generosity that's in your life to help others or to give, you know, financially or whatever, you know, however it's described. Generosity is huge when it comes to you being at peace. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So, anyway, I hope this blesses you and helps you. Praise God. Moves us towards His coming again. I mean, you know He's coming again. So let's be faithful to do what it is He wants us to do. Would you just bow your heads with me? We'll pray together and then we'll take our offering up. Father, thank You tonight. This has been such a good word for all of us. Father God, we're just grateful for Your blessing. Lord, You know our hearts, the pastoral staff here at the church, and the desire we have to help those that have made this church their home. And God, we want the best for them just like You do. So God, fill our mouths with Your wisdom to be able to communicate in such a way, Father, that it is undeniable for people to understand what it is that You want to do in their lives. And Father, let them have faith in Your living word and what it is that You promise. God, even in the midst of whatever their circumstance is now, God, I just know that You want them to be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so, Father, You said in Your word to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So, Father, may we pick that up a bit within our hearts and our lives, within our mouths, to rejoice always and to be thankful. Because, Father, that's where the blessing of God is. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy, Your blessing and Your grace. Guide us in our giving tonight, Father. We're so thankful that we have this privilege to sow into the kingdom of God. And we just thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. All right, let's go ahead and receive our evening offering.